And I'm Elsa Chang. How do you reopen a nuclear exclusion zone? That is a question Japan has been trying to answer since 2011, when an earthquake triggered a massive tsunami that overwhelmed the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. It was one of the worst nuclear disasters ever. The Japanese government has since poured billions of dollars into cleanup and recovery, and the gates that have barred people from coming home have started to come down. But for many, returning is not so simple. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf went to Fukushima to find out what recovery looks like nearly a decade later. We'll be hearing her stories all week. And today, the story of the two towns that host the Daiichi nuclear power plant.
On a cold night earlier this spring, the gate to the last completely closed town in Fukushima Prefecture was unlocked and pulled back for good. This is Futaba, a town that was once home to over 7,000 people, at least until the disaster, when plumes of radioactive material were carried by the wind for miles. Whole towns were suddenly abandoned for years. Since then, Futaba has been stuck in an eerie freeze frame of tragedy.
I'm going to step foot in the town of Futaba as it's officially open into what looks like a pretty quaint little city street. Little buildings and shops. Of course, no one lives here, so it's a deserted city street that we're walking down.
Nearly everything looks as it did on the day of the earthquake. Broken glass litters the sidewalks, the entrance to a temple is toppled into the street, goods from shelves are strewn to the ground, covered in dust and grime. Masato Suzuki is the sole police officer assigned to Futaba. No one can live here yet, he says. There's no electricity, no water, no infrastructure. He says his biggest worry now is the wild boar that roam the streets. Only these few blocks of downtown Futaba are open, a tiny percentage of the town. The rest is still sealed off behind gates, deemed too unsafe for the public. Futaba, once lively, now mostly sounds like this. Tall weeds that have pushed their way through every crack, whispering in the wind. The Daiichi nuclear power plant, owned by Tokyo Electric Power Company, or TEPCO, was built straddling two towns, Futaba to the north and Okuma to the south. Parts of Okuma reopened last year, and in a lot of ways, that town is doing better. There's a lot of construction happening here, a beautiful new town hall and a planned community with dozens of identical one-story houses lining newly paved roads. And people are actually living here, too. Like Kazuko Endo, who's gardening outside one of the new homes. She used to live in Okuma before the disaster, but not here. This used to be rice paddies, she says. Her old home is still behind gates, rotting.
Everything is different now. It's a different town, even if it has the same name.
Okuma used to have a population of over 11,000. Now there are less than 200.
There are only old people here, which I guess includes me. What young family would want to live here? Any school, hospital, or grocery store is miles away.
But it's not just the lack of conveniences that has kept people from moving back. The worry about radiation is constant in this part of Fukushima. There are radiation monitors in parks, outside train stations, and flashing along highways. Radiation levels have generally decreased since the accident, both due to human cleanup and the natural decay of radioactive particles. But there are still a lot of hotspots, places where radiation levels are worryingly high. The Japanese government insists that the areas being reopened are safe, but trust in the government plummeted after the disaster. A lot of people just aren't willing to take the risk. Instead, many who moved back have come to live out their final days. Like 98-year-old Masato Saki. Saki grew up here, and he remembers using candles and lanterns as a kid.
Nuclear power did make life more convenient. Mm-hmm.
There were light bulbs and appliances.
But I'm not so sure it was worth it.
He gets out a big scroll of paper and unrolls it on his kitchen table. It's a family tree. Saki now spends his time trying to track down nearly 200 members of his family, scattered after the disaster. The construction company he owned helped build several of the reactors at Daiichi, and he nods sadly at his role constructing the very thing that forced everyone to flee.
This town needed nuclear. We coexisted with it, and I profited from it. But now, look at the town. We'll never be the same.
He gestures toward the old downtown Okuma, 2 miles away, behind a gate. It's abandoned and overgrown with weeds, rusted shutters clanking with every breeze. These two towns, Okuma and Futaba, once gained a lot from nuclear power. When Daiichi was built here back in the 70s, they shared a wealth of subsidies and tax revenue.
This was a lifeline for them.
Daniel P. Aldrich is a professor at Northeastern University. He studied the huge economic gains that nuclear power host towns originally got in Japan.
They built new roads, they built new bridges, they built old age homes. I can't remember the community. Someone bought a gold brick and put it in the local government offices for people to look at. That's how much money was coming in. People didn't even know what to do with this money.
The incentives needed to be tempting for energy-starved Japan to rise as an economic power. Lots of towns signed on, and over time, Japan built 54 nuclear reactors all across the country. But the money for communities didn't last long, and perhaps no one knows that better than 71-year-old Katsutaka Irogawa. He was mayor of Futaba during the disaster. Now he's retired and lives hundreds of miles away. He's turned the top floor of an old camera store into an office where he spends every day meticulously documenting what happened to his town.
People really believed that without nuclear power, Futaba couldn't survive. And I thought that was very dangerous.
Irogawa says at the time of the accident, all that wealth had run out. He pulls out a big binder and flips to a page to show that when he became mayor in 2004, Futaba was nearly bankrupt. He cut his salary in half and in half again. The town had just agreed to host 2 more reactors to get more money, more subsidies. They were being built at Daiichi when disaster struck.
Futaba was addicted to the nuclear money, but what were the consequences? We didn't get prosperity.
Now Irogawa works day and night. His wife left him. His grown children have moved away. And he thinks every day about the hometown he lost. He says sometimes he can close his eyes and still feel the first warm breeze of summer there.
I miss everything. If I start talking about what I miss, it'll take too long.
Irogawa points to an old picture of Futaba from before 2011. The streets are clean, there are no weeds, and there's a big welcome sign to the town that reads, "Nuclear energy for a bright future." That sign was quietly removed after the disaster. He looks at the photo and sighs.
I took that life for granted. I lost it all.
I feel so much remorse, he says. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Fukushima, Japan.